You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 25th, 2021, the report out of Afghanistan from a political reporter is the Taliban is now stopping Americans trying to get through the airport gates. The reporter says they're not just stopping Afghans, but American citizens. Now, just yesterday, the Taliban said no more Afghans are going to leave. And everyone at the airport has to go home. Now they're apparently stopping some Americans who have made their way to the airport and through the ring and are just ready to go on in inside. And they're not going to allow them in. The Taliban again insisting, we're not going to extend that evacuation deadline. And Biden is just going to, okay, whatever. We are going to leave behind Americans, but at the same time, here's Biden just touting, look what we're going to do for the Afghans. Well, I'm all for helping Afghans, obviously, and especially those who helped us. We made basically a promise to them. You help us, we will help you. Well, now we're abandoning the nation. We're pulling out, which we should be. I don't want to have boots on the ground there forever. But you do it at proper timing and over a period of time, and you get American citizens out well before, over a period of time, and you get Afghans out that you need to get out. But here's the key. The Biden administration now plans to bring about 50,000 to the U.S., 50,000 Afghans to the U.S. who do not have visas, who have not completed their immigration processing. Now, let me stress to you, those coming out of Afghanistan have every right to claim asylum. They truly do. They're not just trying to come here for a job, as we have many coming across our southern border, even as I speak, that are coming not because of asylum, but a better condition, which I can understand. But that's not why we allow you in. And on top of that, they're violating our immigration law. But we don't seem to care. They're coming across the border. Biden doesn't want the Cubans to come across the water to have from Havana to Florida. But he'll let them come across the border, and he's going to bring 50,000 in. Now, the key is, and he has said, we are vetting them. Really? Really? Well, at the scene where they're being originally gathered, apparently there's no biometric check going on, and who knows what else is not being done. And now word is coming that some Afghans at the airport in Kabul are using American passports. This is NBC. American passports that do not belong to them. The State Department apparently found five cases where Afghans were using fake American passports in addition to either real ones. And they're not conducting biometric screening of Afghans at Kabul. Well, Biden said, well, we'll do it when we fly them somewhere else first. Everybody be vetted before they come here. And, of course, he insists that the G7, all the big nations, they're with us on what we're doing. I don't think so. I'm looking at a quote from Nigel Farage, a former Brexit party leader, slamming the Biden administration, what they've done. He said, my country feels betrayed. No way a British parliament right now would vote to militarily cooperate with America on anything. And speaking of the borders, I was a moment ago, the Supreme Court, this is great, the Supreme Court denying a plea from Biden's Department of Justice. They're told you have to put the Trump Stay in Mexico plan back into effect. The Remain in Mexico plan has to go back. That's not what the Biden administration, they wanted everybody to come across so they could add them to the voter rolls, right? Moderna completing its submission filing to get full FDA approval. It hopes to get it pretty soon after Pfizer already has. And now that the hammer's been given to everyone, they're going to use it, the Pentagon, requiring all service members to get vaccinated against coronavirus effective immediately. Originally, they had till September 15. Now, General Austin, Secretary of Defense, says now. You have to do it now. Delta Airlines says it's going to charge employees on the company health plan, if they don't get vaccinated, $200 more a month for their health plan. Delta said, we're going to require employees to be vaccinated starting September 27th or be fired. Biden got yesterday that special classified report on the origins of coronavirus. We had to wait to see exactly what it is, but it's going to be nothing. In fact, the director of the National Intel said, we hope to find a smoking gun. Not going to. You're never going to get a real answer because China is blocking everything.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You know what will happen to me, because if they find me, they will kill me. I'm afraid, and I fear about my life, because we will be targeted by Taliban. As a person who always talked against them, and as a person who is currently talking the media every day, I'm changing my address to be sure that they can't track me, the Taliban can't track me down. They can't search for me. They can't find me. So I'm changing my address. My friends are afraid because they think that they might be targeted because of me. I can't trust my friends because I don't know who is actually my enemy right now. I don't know how long I can do this because I've already visited my family members' houses. I can't go. I can't put more people in danger because of myself. We might be saved just few days more.
Few days more, she's hoping. Those are the words of a 24-year-old Afghan journalist, and said, because I've spoken out against the Taliban in the past, in particular how they treat women, I know I'm on a hit list. I'm having to change my location every day to hide from the Taliban. She has every reason to be in fear. This is not just somebody saying they might be angry. No, they will take her head after they do what they want to with her. And according, and if you didn't hear this yesterday, this might shock you. It is shocking anyway, but you need to know the atrocities that are happening. And sometimes even after they kill the women, they're raping them. They're raping dead women. So she has every right to run. And as you heard her say, I've been staying with friends, but I have to be fearful now. My friends, I don't know. They may have to turn me in. And she knows if they did, they're not doing it because don't like or anything, but they've got to say themselves. You know the story of the diary of Anne Frank and how she was hidden, and so many others were hidden throughout World War II, and those, if the Nazis found out they were hiding them, the whole family was executed. That's going to happen again here with the Taliban. And she mentioned her family. She said, I can't even go close to them anymore. Well, they know who their family is, and they may well go after her family if they can't find her. And she said, I've just been doing my job, and I, you know, everything was good, and then all of a sudden it's all upside down. And then when it became clear the Taliban had control of Kabul and she went to go into work, here's what happened.
When the Taliban took the control of the city, the day after that, I went to office. The very first thing that their fighters told me in the gate was to cover your face. I had hijab, but they stopped me. They said, cover your face. I covered my face and told them back, I have to enter to the TV. I have program. They told me, don't come back and just go to your home. And they told me, like, you're not allowed to come to the TV. Now this is our TV. We will have our own presenter, our own journalist, and we don't need you anymore. We don't need females here. Go to your home. Don't come back.
She did, but she got her 17-year-old brother and left that home because she did not want to be there in case they came looking for her. There's a relative of a journalist that was killed, a German publication reporter. The Taliban was looking for that journalist, couldn't find him, but they found a member of his family, and they killed the relative. She said, you're hearing all this stuff the Taliban are saying, and I'm looking at some of the quotes right here that the Taliban is saying. You know, women will be treated properly. It's not going to be as restrictive as it used to be, as long as they follow Sharia law and they don't violate it, which Sharia law says, cover your face, woman, and you don't speak to unless you're spoken to. And if you're raped as a child by a man, you have to marry the man. That's part of Sharia law. What part of that do you like and that you'd be willing to accept? And if there's an adultery, if there's a case of adultery, the woman will be killed, not the men. And this young 24-year-old woman in Afghanistan who's on the run said, when the Taliban wants to tell you that things will be different this time, no, it's not.
They are checking for the people who always talked against them. And for me, I was one of the people, and I was one of the females who always talked against Taliban in the media. Because what they did to the women, what they did to the innocent people in Afghanistan, what they did to the children in Afghanistan, they burdened them, they killed them. It was never acceptable for me as a human. Recently, the Taliban killed one of the family members of an editor working for the Deutsche Welle. And I'm afraid, what if they do the same thing for me? What if they kill my family member? What if they kill my friends?
That's exactly right. And that's the German journalist, his relative, that she's referring to. They killed him. And yet they continue to say, no, things will be different this time around. They say things will be different this time around. And again, she drives home the point. Do not believe them.
What their leaders are saying is completely different from what we see in Afghanistan and in Kabul. They are targeting people. They are killing people. I don't know why people and everybody, they are hiding. They are hiding the reality of the Taliban. I don't know what is the reason. The only thing that the Taliban did for the last 20 years was killing people. They haven't did anything. And you know what? The very first thing that the Taliban said when they came to Afghanistan, they said that they are forgiven every people in Afghanistan. I was shocked, like, as a human, what I did? Am I a criminal? Have I did anything wrong? Have my people did anything wrong? We haven't did anything. And they are telling that they will forgive us. But the truth is that people will never forgive the Taliban for what they did to the Afghan people for the last 20 years and what they are doing for the people of Afghanistan right now.
Right now. There have already been reports of summary executions happening all around Afghanistan. Most of the journalists appear to be at Kabul around the airport, obviously. And they may or may not be seeing and documenting and can't maybe get the story out, but they're not seeing what's happening around the entire nation. Somebody sent me a clip of footage, and it showed an execution of maybe 10 to 12 men on their knees or hands tied behind their back, and a guy walking, several carrying out the murder, putting a pistol to the man's head, firing it. He falls forward, and the man stands over and shoots him again. And then the guy next to him, it's his turn, and he gets shot in the head. And the one third, fourth, and fifth down there all watching him, but probably saying their last prayers they can at that point. You don't see them saying anything or begging or anything. They're resigned to it. Now, I don't know if that particular scene and footage happened recently or if it was previous, but that is exactly what the Taliban, the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all terrorists do to those they disagree with and think they should be punished. But she said, they're telling us you'll be forgiven. You'll be forgiven. Everything will be okay. So what am I going to be forgiven of? I didn't commit a crime. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Against Sharia law, you did. You uncovered your face, woman. You spoke out, woman. You dared condemn us, woman. And the Taliban at this time, the chief spokesman, is saying the reason we don't want Afghans to leave our country, and while we have told the Afghans, go back home, if you're at the airport, go home, you're not going to be allowed to fly out, and anyone outside our perimeter trying to get to the airport, you're not going to be allowed in the airport anymore. I don't care what kind of documentation you have, you're not going to be allowed to go. And the reason they say, and the Biden administration just kind of going along with it, they said, well, we don't want them to take our people. We asked the Americans, don't encourage Afghans to leave. We need their talent. The crowd gathered at the airport can go home. The Taliban guarantees their security. Would you take that as a vote of confidence that if you just go home, you'll be okay? This young woman you're listening to, she was told when she showed up for work at the TV station, go home. We won't need you anymore. Go home. And the underlining statement that was not said, and stay there so when we come after you, it'll be easy to find you. And, of course, we have many we want to get out, many Afghans who worked for us and helped with us. We want to get them out. But we also have to worry that in the mix of those that were rushing to get out, there might be some that should not be leaving. We might indeed be filling some of those planes, not with folks that need to be rescued and saved from the Taliban, but actual Taliban or Al-Qaeda or even ISIS members posing as, I help the Americans. Okay, get a plane, get on board the plane. But Biden's insisting we're going to make sure that we're properly vetting these people.
We're conducting thorough security screening and the intermediate stops they're making for anyone who is not a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Anyone arriving in the United States will have undergone a background check.
So he says. But they're going to bring in 50,000, according to what they want to do now, 50,000 who do not have visas and have not completed their immigration processing. Well, of course, they can always go to Mexico and come across the southern border. They can get out of Afghanistan. And we don't know at this moment how many have already done that. And not as Afghans fleeing the Taliban, but actual members of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS coming across in the caravans across our border. We do have a report from NBC News at the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, where we're trying to fly some out. Some Afghans, at least five, were caught using fraudulent American passports, others using passports that do not belong to them. And NBC is admitting biometric screening is not available. So Biden says, well, we'll check them at their way stops. Wherever they get, we will check them out before they come to the U.S. Really? This same NBC report, and I'm quoting, people are furious and disgusted. That is quoting a former U.S. intel official who declined to be named. He said, I'm sick with how many Afghan allies will be left behind. We feel a real sense of obligation, moral, personal, to those we supported, trained, and helped do their job. That's according to John Brennan, who is former CIA security chief, and then, of course, now with NBC as a security analyst. No, they're Afghans that we made promises to, and they helped our Americans. They probably saved some Americans. We want them out. But unfortunately, right now, I'm not sure we are doing proper vetting. And more importantly, where are the Americans? How many Americans are we getting out? And the deadline is still August 31, according to Biden. Well, two congressmen, one Democrat and one Republican, said, to hell with waiting on news, we're going to board a plane, we're going to go into Kabul airport, and we're going to see for ourselves. And rather than being praised, Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them are condemning these congressmen. One's a Democrat and one's a Republican. They're condemning them mainly because they're exposing the truth. I'll have their story and what they found when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Congressman Peter Meyer, mayor, I should say, is a Republican of Michigan. Congressman Seth Moulton, Democrat from Massachusetts. They're both military vets, and they decided to do a secret trip to Afghanistan this week without approval leadership to see firsthand what was going on. In a joint statement after they got back, they said, we weren't doing this to grandstand. We're trying to get necessary oversight. Like many vets, we have spent the last few weeks working without sleep, trying to get as many people as we could get through the gates into safety. And they said, we need to make sure we praise our service people. The men and women are ragged, still running strong. Their empathy and dedication to duty truly inspiring. Acts of heroism, selflessness we witnessed. Selflessness, I should say, we witnessed would make America proud. But Washington should be ashamed of the position we put our service members in. And they said there is no way we could get everybody out of there by this August 31 deadline. Yesterday, Biden said, we're sticking to August 31. And he said the completion by August 31 depends on the Taliban continuing to cooperate. In other words, we got to rely upon the Taliban. We're not making our own decision. So he's kind of trying to build some little room for himself to maneuver, he said, if they continue to cooperate and allow access to the airport. Well, we've been told, one, according to a Politico reporter, Americans are now being denied entrance into the airport. We already know they've been turning away Afghan citizens, not allowing them to go in, said no more Afghans are going to be allowed to leave. And these two congressmen that did this, they're being blasted, not just by the Democrats, but by Republicans as well. Pelosi said that was dangerous for them to freelance on their own. And plus, they might have taken a seat an American could have used to get out or someone else. And they said, no, we didn't. We sat in seats approved only for crew members. But they said it can't be done in the timetable. We're not sure it could be done by September 11th. Congressman Meeks, Democrat of New York, said, yeah, I typically sign off on international visits. I'm surprised and shocked by it. Florida Congressman, GOP Congressman Mast, who's also a veteran, said that unannounced trip can create a dangerous situation. Another headache for U.S. troops in Kabul. And Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, said, I understand their frustration, but I can't condone their trip. I think the best decision is that you don't put people in jeopardy. I think they did. Well, they're back now. It's done. And the response and then what they found is it can't be done by August 31. But you got wishing and hoping, like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying just today, hopefully as many as these people, Afghans and Americans, will be evacuated as possible. Hopefully all. You know that story. You can hope in one hand and let a bird sit in your other hand and see which one fills up with, you know, first. And again, we have a president who is costing us on the international stage, and other countries are watching. Yesterday, Biden finally came out to deliver his remarks, and he was praising his conversation with the G7 and all. They're all together, basically. I don't think they really are. But that's what he wants to say. He said, we're all together, UN, NATO, European Union. We're all on great terms and a pace to finish this by our deadline. My original deadline, he said, is August 31. He said, of course, that depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate. And many are asking, does he really understand what's at stake? Much less is he the one actually making the decisions. When we continue, you're going to hear Biden insist, I know what's going on. I'm on it. I got it. I got the wheel. I don't know if that's going to make me feel that great, but you're going to hear him say, I'm aware of all the dangers. That's coming up. And you've got members of the media, even state-controlled media, now condemning Biden, but you got others that are just lapping around him like a little puppy. Love him, love him, love him.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Mustang Sally, guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm also mindful of the increasing risks that I've been briefed on, and the need to factor those risks in. They're real and significant challenges that we also have to take into consideration. The longer we stay, starting with the acute and growing risk of an attack by a terrorist group known as ISIS-K, an ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan, which is a sworn enemy of the Taliban as well. Every day we're on the ground is another day we know that ISIS-K is seeking to target the airport and attack both U.S. and allied forces and innocent civilians. Additionally, thus far, the Taliban have been taking steps to work with us so we can get our people out. But it's a tenuous situation. We've already had some gunfighting break out. We run a serious risk of it breaking down as time goes on.
That was President Biden yesterday finally coming out to give his speech on Afghanistan. I'm looking at a piece written by Jessica Chasmar, Fox News, pointing out that Biden is struggling to provide a message of strength and confidence amid international scorn and uncertainty over his handling of the U.S. military drawdown in Afghanistan, showing up late to speeches, refusing to answer reporters' questions, largely avoiding the White House press ever since Taliban insurgents took over the country in a matter of days. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy fuming this morning. Biden made us wait a number of hours and then began by touting a $5 trillion liberal wish list that will increase greater inflation, transform our country in the worst way possible. And then the most embarrassing part was that he refused to take questions. He turned his back and walked away. An image that's come to define him and his presidency. Those are the words of California Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy. He turned his back on our own citizens stranded in Afghanistan. He's turned our back on our allies and partners. He's turned his back on his duties as commander-in-chief. You say, well, that's just a Republican viewpoint. No, there are others that have the same thing on the Democrat side as well, that they don't like this. They do not like it at all because it's not looking good for them either, obviously. And it is correct that when Biden finally showed up 3+ hours later than what they'd been told to be ready for him, he began by saying, look what Nancy Pelosi and everybody did. We got this $3 trillion package. Oh, and we're getting better about getting DOJ control over a federal election law because the House passed H.R. 4, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. And eventually then he got to, oh, and Afghanistan. And yet you just heard him say, I'm aware of the dangers. Well, you don't show any pressing awareness or concern about it when you spend the first 5 minutes and 45 seconds of a conference that started 3 to 4 hours late. You spend the first 5 minutes, 45 seconds discussing your Democrat wins in the House. I told you yesterday, and I'll repeat again, every American who's in Afghanistan right now, even if they're at Kabul Air Force Base, at this point, they are still a hostage of the Taliban. But he's insisting we're going to have everybody out by August 31 if the Taliban cooperate. So in other words, we had to rely on the Taliban to let us do this, carry it all out, right? Right? Well, that question got raised of Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, over the weekend. And he was asked by the CBS host, do we have to ask the Taliban for permission for American citizens to leave? True or not true? Blinken's answer, they are in control of Kabul. That's reality. We have to deal with it. And, of course, we have Afghans we also want to get out, in addition to Americans, those who helped our troops. They're estimating something like 50,000 are going to be coming to the U.S. AOC says bring 200,000. We can't even properly vet the ones we are going to bring in at this point. And if they helped us, I want them to have every opportunity to be here. But I want to make damn sure they're who they say they are. And, of course, you're getting from the state-controlled media, they're really lost. Man, how do we cover this thing? We got to be careful. I mean, they worry, many of them have called Biden out for not acting better and faster in this sudden pull the troops out first before you take all the Americans out. And then in the dead of night, you abandon Bagram Air Force Base. Don't even tell the Afghan government. They learn about the next morning. They go in and, well, there's nobody here. And we leave all that equipment behind. After we already know the Afghan army has folded and the Taliban is racing across the country. We didn't put phosphorus explosives on the blocks of engines or on planes, anything, and destroy and wipe all that out. Nope, we left it. Originally, we were going to leave it because we thought the Taliban army would use it. But they folded because they don't have any air support. The moment they found we had abandoned Bagram Air Force Base, we got no air support. We can't carry out what we were trying to do. I need to get home and protect my family. But in the midst of all of those debacles, all of those I went through, and that's just some of them, just some of them, you got the lapdogs that just circle around and panting. I love Biden. Here's an example. Political commentator Matthew Dowd on CNN.
I actually have lauded the president from the very beginning about Afghanistan. He was dealt a horrible situation. And as of today, he's done an extremely good job in this situation. There were many people over the last 7 days that said there's no possible way he could get 50,000 people out. No possible way. And that was the number people thought that had to get out. He's gotten out 70,000 people in the last 8 days, 70,000 people out of Afghanistan in the last days. And I actually think the president, for what he was dealt and what he's done over the course of the last week, should be congratulated on the way this was done. Now, there's many things left to handle of the course of this situation. I think the president's done unbelievable yeoman's work.
My God, if Biden stops, he's going to run right into his butt. Matthew Dowd. And the hand he was dealt. Yeah, they got to say, he got dealt that by Trump. He had to do it. Well, he didn't. Trump had set a May 1 deadline, is going to be ahead of this date, but that was if the Taliban continued to cooperate, and it made it clear, you violate one letter of our law and our agreement, we will hunt you down, we'll come to your village and take you and your village out. But when Biden is in office, once he came in and Trump's out, they said, we could deal with Biden. And then you've got NBC, Richard Engel, foreign correspondent, chief foreign correspondent for NBC, and he tells an entirely different look than what you just heard from Matthew Dowd.
This war used to be called Operation Enduring Freedom, and it's turned out not to be enduring, and they're not leaving behind a society that is free. It is only free according to what the Taliban says it will be free. The Taliban promises that it will be free. So you could also look at this as a tremendously humiliating moment of American humiliation, right? Leaving, forced to leave on the Taliban's clock and with the Taliban's good graces. So tactically it makes sense, but I'm not sure how history will. I think history will judge this moment as a very dark period for the United States.
Be judged as a disaster, a full disaster. That's again NBC chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel. Democrat Jason Crow from Colorado also says Biden has set a condition based on the past, and things have changed, and he's still going to hold to the same August 31 deadline? Stupid.
And we set that date under different conditions during a different time. Those conditions have changed. We're in a different world now than we were in when that date was originally set. And we have to respond to that different world and that different reality, and we have to get the mission done.
Sir, do you feel better after this briefing today, or what are your outstanding concerns at this point?
Yeah, my outstanding concerns are very simple, and that is we have a mission that has to get done, that we have a moral obligation. There is broad bipartisan agreement within the United States Congress and across this country that we have to get American citizens out, and we have to get our Afghan partners and allies out. The American people support it, and their representatives in this House support it. That can't be accomplished between now and the end of the month, so the date has to extend.
Has to extend, but Biden's not showing he's going to. Oh, he's saying, oh, well, the Taliban, they had to cooperate so we can meet that. Well, I'm sure they're going to cooperate so you get out. But they've already made it clear, if you stay 1 minute past August 31, we will consider that you basically are invading our country. You were invading us. So what do you think we're going to do? Florida Congressman Michael Waltz, first Green Beret elected to Congress. And he's looking at Biden as commander-in-chief. He said, you have to understand, the Taliban is probably going to keep U.S. citizens who missed that August 31 evacuation timeline. They're going to keep them to gain economic and political leverage. You don't have to be a war history student to know that's going to happen. And Congressman Walt said, we're on the cusp of having the biggest mass hostage situation in American history. It's going to make 1979 in Tehran look like a sleepover. I want you to hear from that Afghan journalist running for her life in Afghanistan when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We don't have any future. We don't have any freedom. And the very basic rights as a human that I have to speak, to go out of my home, to choose everything I want, it's gone. There is no hope for me, for my generation, for my people, for females, especially for the journalists who are very afraid. No one will come back for Afghanistan. It feels like the end of this story and the end of Afghanistan for me.
Those are the plaintiff words of a 24-year-old Afghan journalist. Now the Taliban is back in control. She's 24 years old. First 4 years of her life, she was under Taliban control, but as a four-year-old, maybe she didn't really see what was happening. She's grown up. She's seen it. She's been talking about it on her reports. And now she knows the Taliban is hunting for her because of she condemned the Taliban over the years in various reports once she started doing it. And I hope those who don't like this country and think we're not doing anything right here, I hope they heard her. I would like you to volunteer to take her place, and you go take her place so she can be safely brought out of the country. Anyone out there that wants to do that, that condemns this country on a constant basis, riddle me this. Do you know what a butt is? No, not that one. Come on. It could be the one and the same. But I'm talking about the word butt, B-U-T. No, it's not spelled like the other one. It is a break in a sentence. And normally it says, I'm all for this, but that's what a butt is. I'm looking at a piece by CNN, Stephen Collinson. And he wrote, the instincts that drove Joe Biden's decision to end the U.S. presence in Afghanistan August 31 were revealed by what he talked about before he announced it to the American people. He said in a televised statement billed as an update on a remarkable airlift that has now saved more than 87,900 people. We have to take their word for that. I don't know if they have or haven't. I don't know if they're just making up numbers like Cuomo was doing in New York, but let's just say the numbers are accepted. Collinson says the update on the remarkable airlift that saved more than 87,900 people, which again doesn't say how many Americans, does it? Anyway, he continues, Biden celebrated the latest House votes on his $3.5 trillion jobs, social spending, family leave, and a health care blueprint. Collinson even wrote, it was a jarring start to a speech about his initially chaotic process of finally ending a war. But, there it is, but, Biden was making clear that despite an exit likely to trap thousands of Afghans eligible for passage to the U.S., under brutal Taliban rule and potentially some Americans, he believes the priorities of Americans and his own political prospects are ultimately elsewhere. This will infuriate and dismay political opponents, vets, intel professionals, and others who believe America is breaking a sacred promise of a safe haven to those Afghans who helped American lives. But, there it is again, but, it is in line with Biden's calculation of national interest that underpins his foreign policy. Now you know what a butt is. He goes on to talk about, on this CNN analyst piece, that little leverage, terror threats, political imperatives have forced Biden's hand. Since U.S. forces are effectively hostage to a hostile security environment, it was always likely Biden would agree to requests by allies like Britain and France to extend the operations beyond his and the Taliban's deadline of August 31. But, he's not going to do it. He's not going to change it. So far. No, he still insists we're going to be out of there by August 31. We'll have all Americans out, and we will not. We will not have every American out. And we damn sure won't have every Afghan who deserves to be brought out, because if they were not on the flights and they're not already out of the country, they're not going to get out, at least at the airport. They may be trying to run to the border and find a way to get across and with their family, and have to take their family, because if they find you're missing and they're looking for you, they go to the family. They have no problem with killing your wife, your kids, your pets, your brother, your sister, and their families if they can't find you. Death by proxy all over again. But we are apparently at this point bound and determined to leave by August 31. That could change. It might well. In fact, I'm willing to say it probably will, but there it is. It might not. I go back to the comments I was reading earlier from Florida Congressman Michael Waltz, the first Green Beret elected to Congress. He said, we're on the cusp of having the biggest mass hostage situation in American history. It's going to make 1979 in Iran look like a sleepover. As always, I appreciate you listening and joining the program. Please continue to spread the word. We're getting more and more people, mainly because you are spreading the word, and I thank you. 100% patriotic programming here. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.